Good morning. God bless you. Thank you for sharing, Stephen. God is good. God is good. Christ came to die for our sin. That's a singular sin. That's that nature of sin, that sinfulness that he said. Christ came to die for our sin. And that is what we need to, that need we need with, before we were born again, we were helpless. We were without hope. And we needed to come to that place where we accept Jesus Christ and repent of that nature. And after we give our life to Christ and we accept Jesus Christ and our spirit becomes alive again, we now have power over sin. We now have power over that where we were once kept in bondage. Praise the Lord. Just a beautiful testimony. We had thought maybe we would share some about the prison crusade, but it is just a little, I think we're going to wait till next weekend, if that's all right, Stephen. We would like to be done here by 11:45, so I think we're just going to get started here. I just want to welcome each one here this morning. Welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's good to see you, and just the desire here this morning is that Christ would be glorified, that Christ would be shared, that we could break the bread of life. As Jesus broke that bread to the crowds with a few little fish and a few loaves, just with a small lunch. That's my desire this morning, that somehow the Word of God could be shared and God would take it and multiply it, that there would be even leftover, more than what I even have to share here this morning. Such a blessing. I'm just blessed. Going to continue on in 2 Peter here. I was sharing out of 2 Peter the last few times. I'm going to continue on. Verses 12 and to the end here. We're going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and to the end. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, by putting you in remembrance, knowing that I shortly must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Such a desire in me today yet is that that could be the case. That as men share, as men are moved by the Holy Ghost, we could preach the Word of God. And just think of the verse 19 there. Talk about a light shining into a dark place. Talk about a light shining into a dark place until the light comes on. Like, that was just, I see that this morning as Steve was sharing his testimony. And it was a dark place, and God kept putting the word, the light, and he would take him from one step into the next. And all of a sudden, the light came on. Praise the Lord. So we're going to begin here in verse 12. And again, Peter is here just reminding people. He's just reminding the people there, the church, two times in verse 12 and 13 to remind us. And what is he reminding us of? And we have to think of Peter's just reminding them even though they know. And it says even though they're standing or they're established, continue to add to your faith. Don't stop. Continue to add to your faith virtue. Abraham believed God when God told him he's going to have children or descendants like the stars in the sky. He believed God, and there was virtue. His life displayed his belief in God. But then there was a time later when God said that he's to sacrifice his son Isaac. And even though he knew Isaac was the chosen to the inheritance, he had virtue. And he purposed in his heart he's going to sacrifice Isaac. And in the New Testament said he did when he had offered Isaac. But in other words, let's don't forget and don't be scared to continuously remind us of the good things of God and of the truth, even though we know them. Jude 1:5 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Like they knew that, it's not just where we're beginning, but it's also the continuation of our faith, continuing on. He didn't bring them out of Egypt just to let them die in the wilderness. That was not the purpose. His purpose was to bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which is where we are today. We live in that time where the Holy Spirit has been poured out. We live in a time where God has revealed us through Jesus Christ, through the Spirit. We live in the land flowing with milk and honey. And I believe that was the purpose that God brought them out. But Jude is just saying, remember that even though he brought them out and they had believed that God could bring them out, they didn't make it in. Like, don't stop. Continue in the faith. Don't quit in the middle of the wilderness. Don't stop there. God has a purpose to bring us into a relationship with him. And I believe that is where we see in the land of Canaan. It was the promised land. It was the land where God wanted to defeat the enemy. God wanted to live in the people. He wanted to display himself. He wanted to let the world know through the people of Israel who he was. Verse 13, we know how this works in the natural. Like we all know what it takes to get maybe good at something. Like if you just do something day after day after day, or you even if you're practicing for an event, or you're practicing for a volleyball game or whatever, there's always just consistent practice goes into that. We practice, we work out, repetitively do things so that when the pressure's on, we can execute. And I think in this life, God wants us to put our faith into practice. There's not every day that we come to up against maybe a Goliath in our lives. Not every day do we meet Goliath. But it's the little things in life. It's the consistency in God that is going to help when we come to that place where Goliath comes against us, where we meet. We read the Word of God daily. We pray. We come to church. We make many decisions that we don't even think about it. We just know this is the right thing to do. We walk by the Holy Spirit. He gives us direction. We come against something, and His Spirit just says, no, this way. Go this way. And we don't even think about it always, but we pray, ask God to give us wisdom in the morning and many times throughout the day. We don't even realize it, that God is giving us wisdom. I know I find that many times. We just know what to do, but then there's that moment where God wants to test us. There's a time God wants to test our faith to see if it's real. He wants to test and try us. Verse 8. Verse 8 there, we see that For if these things be in you and abound. Like, it's not just in us, but it's also coming out of us. Like, these things of virtue, these things of knowledge, knowing what's right and wrong, goodness. When these things are coming out of us, brotherly kindness and charity, when these things come out of us, then we abound. Then God says, it's an entrance shall be ministered unto us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Like, put effort. I know salvation is free, but it takes an effort. It's not just haphazardly, well, it's okay. We have to discipline ourselves. Our life needs to be disciplined based on the Word of God. Not that we're trying to please God, but because we're part of God's kingdom. Give diligence. Make up your mind. And first, 2 Timothy 1:6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Like, it almost seems like Timothy was being a little timid or something, and Paul is just like, let that operate out of you. If you have a gift that God has given you, let it operate. Put it to use and give yourself to that. Peter was concerned about, after he leaves, that the people would stay in the faith. He was concerned that the men that were around him and the church there would lose hope, maybe. I don't know. But he was concerned that they would continue on. And so we keep reminding ourselves. We hear it again and again. Every Sunday, hopefully, the gospel is shared somehow through the Word of God. I believe in any message that's ever preached, you can bring, the gospel is there. It's interwoven throughout the whole scripture, even in the Old Testament. And Paul was just warning the Christians there, the saints, that they would stay on guard, that they would recognize the battles that they need to face and that they're going to face, and that they're going to be able to overcome these things. Verse 16, and just amazed at his words here, but he says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Like, he wasn't just somehow trying to make some kind of a program that sounded good, looked good, and that was going to work. He actually was part of, he saw, he was with Christ on that mount. It wasn't just, let's look at verse 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words, not with words of my own. I'm not even sure. I missed a couple words there. Not with my own words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. In other words, Peter, the apostles, they could have preached and wrote up all kinds of neat things or whatever, but he recognized that it wasn't through that the power of God was going to flow. He recognized that it's not through words of wisdom of man. And that brings the cross of Christ to none effect. But he said, we could go, and I could encourage you here this morning that God is going to bless you, that if you do this and this and this, and God's going to be with you and bless you, and he's going to heal you if you... But it's cunningly devised fables. And I think he was just preparing them for, even in chapter 2, when he talks about the false prophets and how they operate and what's going on there. But a devised fable is to render wise in a sinister acceptation, to form sophisms that is continual plausible error. Like, you actually set something up and make it look and sound right, but it's error. It's a devised fable, cunningly devised. And I think they were dealing with people who were very smart in making things look and sound right. And yet they were false. They were not true. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Like, these false prophets and false Christs actually have power to do signs and wonders. Mark 13:22 says, For false Christs and false prophets shall arise, shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. In other words, they're using signs and wonders as a way to somehow bring the people to follow them in a seducing way. But underneath, it's all about themselves. It's all about their what they want. And I'm amazed. In most, I haven't searched this a whole lot except a few different places, but the apostles always use we. Like, it's not just about me. You know, there's never just, they're trying to somehow build something. It's we made known unto you, or we brought this, or we seen God. We handled the words of life. We seen Christ with our own eyes. And they're just, their whole motive is that people see Christ. We made known, like here it says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord. In other words, they didn't just somehow try to organize something in a way that it sounds right. But like, we actually seen God, or we seen Christ in the mountain. And we can read that in the Gospels there, where Jesus took a few with him up into the mount, and there he was revealed or glorified in front of them. And that's another thing, where Christ usually didn't go where the crowds were. Well, I mean, he somehow, where he was, there was crowds, but like, that wasn't his pursuit. He wasn't out there. He could have manifested himself when there was 10,000 people around. He could have had God speak to him then. But he chose Peter, James, and John, went up into the mountain aside, kind of by themselves, and yet he wanted some of them to see this, to persuade them and convince them of what his ministry is about. Romans 1:16. When we made known unto you the power, like the power of God, what is that? What is the power that we're talking about? It's power. Romans 1:16, power for salvation. Romans 15:19, it's a power to preach the gospel. And 1 Corinthians 5:4, it's the power to add discipline to the church. Paul said, like, I have the power to bring discipline in this situation because of the power of God that was in him. 2 Corinthians 12:9, most gladly therefore I would glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Like, the power of Christ is only when we're weak, then he is made strong. And our weaknesses or our infirmities, Paul seen that he can actually glory in his infirmities, so the power of Christ can be revealed. Because as Steve was sharing this morning, we kind of get things, we have this mentality when things are going good, our finances look good, our home, we have children, they're all walking with us or whatever, and we somehow get this thought that everything's okay. And yet, Paul said, I will most gladly therefore glory in my infirmities, whatever that was. But it's then, when we're weak and when our infirmities don't allow us, in a sense, to do how we want, the power of Christ comes. And it's in those moments when God can move so mightily in our lives, when we know that we can't do this. I mean, it's just been, again and again, we come to the end of a day and my wife and I will talk and before we go to bed, and it's like, I don't know if we can do another day of this. You know, how do we get through another day? How are we going to do tomorrow? Something has to change. We go to bed and we wake up the next day and life goes on. And God continues to give us the grace. the power of God is when in our weaknesses. How do we allow God to bring us to a place where we're contrite, we're humble, we're broken, we don't know how to move forward. And then we just get up and go on. And God imparts his wisdom, his power, right into that situation. 1 Peter 1:5, the power to keep us. Like when the apostles were preaching and sharing and making known of the power of God, it was many different ways. The power of God is powerful enough to keep us. We see that in 1 Peter 1:5. Isn't it interesting? When Christ wants to reveal himself, he goes up into the mountain with just a few men. And the false prophets are always, as we've seen the Pharisees, it was always, well, you know, when one leaves, or we cannot just let this Jesus go. He's going to have everybody following him. I mean, they were always concerned about their own agenda and their own crowds and their own people. And yet when Christ wants to reveal himself, he goes up into the mountain, takes three apostles with him, and there he allows God to just confirm who he is, and God just reveals himself there. Jesus is glorified, and the apostles find themselves face down on the ground. God is good. But God, when they make known the power of God, they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They saw it. It wasn't just something that, you know, we can, many times, we will share things that we've never seen. I mean, maybe someone shares something with you and you didn't see it, but you pass that on. That's head knowledge, right? We just pass knowledge around or whatever it might be, but this was not just something that was head knowledge. Now for us, we believe it because it's in the Word of God, but it's as the Spirit reveals it to us. Jesus Christ said, him I will reveal to him. God reveals it by his Spirit. And we know that these things are true because the Spirit bears witness. When we read the Word of God, it becomes alive. It's real. And this voice, verse 18, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him. Like, this is not just something that I'm making up. We actually saw Jesus Christ in his glorified state. And we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And as we allow the word of God to penetrate into our hearts, the Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We're gonna continue in this light, and it gets, like, we grow from grace to grace. We grow in grace. We go from light even more and more unto the perfect day. First Peter there in verse chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11 and 12. I love these three verses. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Peter is saying, like, the prophets and the apostles, or the prophets inquired and searched diligently of this grace that we're actually walking in. Like, they knew it. It says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, salvation at Calvary, and the glory that should follow. I think that would just be when the Spirit was poured out and the church was born. And the glory that should follow, I think, is just the blessing of living on this side of the cross. We live in a time of grace and glory. I believe that is the glory that they were talking about. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, they knew it wasn't for them, but unto us that administer the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Like, we have something that the angels actually desire to look into. Like for what we heard this morning, Steve sharing his testimony, the angels desire to look into that situation. Like, how can somebody down here on this earth believe in a God that they never saw, and yet the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and it's, how would I say? The angels are desiring to look into this. Like, we have something that causes the heavens and the realms above us to be amazed that we would put our faith in something that we can't see. And I think the prophets who were testifying of this and who were searching this out, like, they wanted to know when this is going to happen and what is it about it. They didn't have this opportunity that we do. But yet they prophesied of the grace, they prophesied of this time because of the Spirit of God that was in them, revealed it to them. And yet they knew it wasn't for them. And they were interested in that, and they searched it out. I believe in the heart of Peter, it was to convince the church that Christ is alive. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, there's no prophecy in the Old Testament that was just some human understanding or just somebody's thoughts. It was all inspired by God, by the Spirit of God. As the Spirit of God came, it says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter wanted to convince the church that Christ is alive, that his authority is over all things. Like, do we believe that this morning? His authority is over all things. He permits things to happen in our lives. I was sharing with someone last evening about the shaking. Like, God is going to shake. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And so if we sense a shaking in our heart, let it shake. Let God shake it out, because he wants to get rid of that so that anything that can't be shaken would be remain. That's what he wants remaining in us. He wants to shake anything that's in us that can be shaken. But Peter wanted to convince the church that God is, his authority is over all things, and that we recognize false prophets, because he gives and continues there in chapter 2 of how just a description of how they teach and what they do. I'm going to read in Luke 1. I was just blessed by this thought and thinking of prophecy and how Zacharias here prophesied. And if we think sometimes of prophecy, what do we think of? First, what do we think of when we think of, filled with the Holy Ghost, or, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, or what does that, bring to our minds, or what comes to our mind when we think, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost? Look what here it says in Luke 1, verse 67, I'm going to read there to 79. It says, and his father Zacharias, this would be John the Baptist, was born here, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Look at this. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. When we think of someone prophesying or being filled with the Holy Spirit, I think what we see is just the Word of God coming out. Here he was just praising the Lord. He was blessing God for visiting him and redeeming the people and raising up a horn of salvation. Like, he was just blessing God. But I think he was just overfilled with the joy of the Lord. I mean, it just come out of him. And they were just here. They just had their, I think this is probably where they wanted to give him a name, but like, God's heart was to reveal salvation to his people. And he brought Christ down in this earth. The glory of God came down in the form of a little child. And to think this morning we read that, or we sang that song, Glorious Impossible. You know, we think about this little child, Jesus, was here as helpless as a newborn baby. And I'm just like, how can that be? How can that be, actually, that God would humble himself to the point where he is in the hands of sinful men? I mean, he wasn't in the hands of sinful men, and yet he lived among a world that was anti-Christ, really. And there was people who wanted to take him out. But as we think about just thinking of the prophecy that came in old time, it was not by the will of man. Like, but as the prophets were moved, like, there was, I don't know how it would happen, if God spoke to them in person, or if it was just simply, as sometimes just something is birthed out of just being in the presence of God, and they begin to pen. And I think it, sometimes that would have been the case, but there was a move of God even individually in our prophets that brought the word, and we can believe that the word of God is true from the beginning to the end. All the word of God is inspired. All the word of God was inspired by him to bring, and just to allow that truth to come to us through the prophets. I want to close with this verse here in Psalms 119, 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And just thinking of that in verse, how it says there in verse 19, like, "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." I just love that picture of just being in a dark place, and then the word of God comes there to that heart, and it just makes a light, and it gives you direction. What a beautiful picture we have of the word of God, how it can be a light for us, and it can shine from one place to the next and guide us. And eventually the light of Christ bursts in our hearts, and we get born again. And the day star rises. Praise the Lord.